down to the final two times of getting together this summer, and we're discussing the two gifts that Hashem has given Klal Yisrael, the two gifts that He's given us, ways of each and every day lifting ourselves up to a higher way of looking at our lives, at reality, and so on, of being more emesdik, of being more pneumiasdik, being more honest with ourselves, being more honest with Hashem, with others, and so on. And we're going to have to skip around, because the last part, which we're going to begin tonight and finish next week, deals with how a new perspective, this way of looking at things, can really add so much simcha to our lives, which brings us back to what we were talking about last summer, two summers ago, the sugya of simcha, of joy, and adding more joy to our lives. So we were talking about davening. The first gift that Hashem gave us is Torah. We were talking about how every word of Torah that a person learns, and he's learning it lishma, not just if a person's learning just to play some sort of intellectual game. Obviously that doesn't help in any way. Or I shouldn't say that. With Torah, even when it's learned in that way, it's still a good thing. But certainly when Torah is learned for the right reason, then it has an effect on changing our mabat, our way of looking at things. And the second gift, and we spoke about that, the second gift is davening, is tefillah. And at the end we spoke a little bit about Kriya Shema, and we're just going to learn a little bit, some kavanas that we could have during davening. We always are looking for ways to improve our davening. This is a focal point of all of our davening. So we learned last week that the Belzer Rebbe said, and other tzaddikim say, that every time we begin davening, the David HaMelech Mamash comes with us together to daven, and to say, to help us with the Mizmorim, to help us with the Kapitel of Tehillim. So when we learn some kavanas, some simple kavanas that we can have, it really will help our davening and our whole way of looking at things. So we're skipping a little bit. Look on page Kuf Lamed Aleph, footnote Kuf Mem Zayin. You see that entire page and a half is really Yiddish. So we're going to do a few notes. These notes are really tefillas, davening, and helping us with kavana during davening. Things that we've been talking about the entire summer, but how we could apply them and how tefillah, and ask for them and daven for them. Many times over the years we've spoken about how important it is that when we learn something, to change that learning into a tefillah. Rabbi Nachman Breslover always spoke about that, how when you learn something, you should try to daven for that. Not just to learn, but you should try to daven to be able to incorporate that into your life. So on page Kuf Lamed Aleph, footnote Kuf Mem Zayin, here Rabbi Simei is talking about the brachas that we have before Kriyat Shema. Anybody who's ever had the time and the presence of mind to think about those brachas, the brachas before Kriyat Shema are really amazing. We have a Kabbalah from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh that, especially when it comes to the bracha of Ahavas Olam or Ahava Rabbah, whichever your nusach is, that last bracha before Shema, that the longer a person says that, the shorter the galus will be. And I spoke about that once a few years ago, what that means. That the union of these brachas before Shema is the way that we prepare for Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Now at the end last week, we spoke about the simplest meaning of Hashem Echad is that is the priority of my life, the most important thing in my life, and everything revolves around Hashem Echad. The simple meaning of Hashem Echad, God is one, is not a theological issue that I have this thought that there are many gods, and I've come to the conclusion in Shacharis, and then once again by Maariv, and once again when I go to sleep, that no, there aren't many gods, there's only one God. Baruch Hashem, none of us are concerned with gods. We believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Echad means that constant reminder, that's what we spoke, you remember at the end last week about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, everything is Yitzias Mitzrayim. That constant reminder of the oneness of God is the reminder to each and every one of us when we touch the mezuzah, when we say Shema, is the reminder that the underlying internal purpose of our lives is to serve Hashem. And therefore, when a person lives without Hashem Echad, the entire life is a different life. What upsets you, what excites you, and so on. So here, we're going to see how this is all part of our davening. So look at Kuf Mem Zayin. We'll do it very quickly. Shnei brachas kedoshes b'shachris. B'bracha harishonim, but there are two holy brachas in the morning before Shema. Now, a lot of people don't feel a connection to those first, the first bracha that we say, Yotzer, or Vrechoshech, and then afterwards, Hameyel, or it's Vladorim Aloha. Most of that consists of the praises and of the Malachim of the angels. And most of us are having a hard enough time being human beings, and it's not really our inyan to be Isaac with Malachim. What's the business of Malachim, of angels? So he explains, Shiratzayin Hashem is Baruch. Now why does Hashem have to give us a little bit of a peek into the world of the angels? That the Vaifanim, Achayis, Akad, like to show, you know, how impressive this is. There's such an impressive thing going on in Shemayim, that all the Malachim are clamoring to praise Hashem, to come to Hashem. So he says, Shanach so hated us avoided some halachim. In the first bracha before Shema, we talk about the avoda of the angels. Kadesh Nizka Tamin. Why? That we should always remember, Sha'ilam Azahu Rak Praizda, that this world is not it. This world is not it. This world is only an entrance into something much more amazing, much deeper than this world. And that's why Bechlal, Hashem gives us these occasional glimpses into the other world. And not only that, but the Torah teaches us that the neshama of every Jew is infinitely greater than an angel, than a malach. V'haguf hu rak malbush, the physical body that we're in is just a garment. V'hamalochim harei mabitim aleinu, the angels who are clamoring to get to Hashem and who are constantly singing His praises, the malochim look down at us, u'ksheim rayim shenachnu ma'abdim esatzmeinu, when they see us, ma'abdim esatzmeinu literally means, you know, destroying ourselves, committing suicide. When the malochim see us wasting our lives, and polluting our lives, ourselves. Now, the Malach knows that we're greater than him. The Malach knows that. Imagine, wouldn't you or I, how would we feel? We can't even imagine. If you or I would ever be in the presence of a great person like Rabbi Yashiv or a Chaim Kanievsky, Gadol Hador. And you'd see you'd be standing there in the Gadol Hador, be arguing with a 10-year-old child over who goes first. Like something like, the stuff that we're constantly breaking up or dealing with, who goes first or it's not fair. Can you imagine if you would hear Reb Chaim Kanievsky say to a kid, it's not fair, you'd feel unbelievably disappointed. Because you know that Reb Chaim Kanievsky is such an exalted person. And how could it be that such an exalted person is Isaac with a little kid like Katniss in Arishkeit? So the Malachim know that we're greater than them. The Malachim know that we're much more exalted than them. And the Malachim see us arguing who goes first and getting involved in all kinds of Narishkeit. And the Malachim can't understand the same way we wouldn't understand. How could that be? So sometimes when you learn Tanakh, and certainly when a person learns, if a person is on the level to learn Kabbalah Svarim, so then what's the reason? Why does Hashem have to let us in on this mysterious hidden world of angels, of Sraphim, and Chayis HaKadosh, and all these different things that occasionally we get a glimpse of, a little bit of an inkling of an understanding? Because Hashem wants us to realize that we're more precious to Him than all of this. And all the Malachim are constantly singing. And all the Malachim are serving Hashem Zbarach. And unfortunately, we forget how great we are. And the second bracha, which is one of the most beautiful brachas we have, is the bracha that we say right before Shema in the morning of Ahav Rabba or Ahav Asylum. Just think of the first few words. And I spoke about this around 4 years ago. Ahavas Olam Ahavtanu Hashem Elokeinu. The sentence begins, Ahavas Olam. The bracha begins, Hashem, you love us with an eternal love, with an infinite love. Ahavas Olam Ahavtanu Hashem Elokeinu. Chemla Gedoyla V'Serech Chamalto Olayinu. And the compassion and the mercy that you have for us, the love that you have for us is so great. And the rest of the bracha is the most beautiful bracha in the world. But you know how it is when you say something so often, then you don't even think about it. I was thinking this morning, it became, you know, since Klal Yisrael has gone through such difficulties the past few years, especially in Eretz Yisrael, the whole matzav in Eretz Yisrael, so many shuls have added on to say a kapitel tilim at the end of davening. So they say shemal, it's already become part of davening. I've noticed that it's already shemal remarkable because everybody's already talking, putting the tilim away. It already made it. You know what I'm saying? It made it. And how do you know it's made it? Because like people walk out in the middle or schmoozing in the middle. Like for a while, it was everybody would stand there with either, you know, put that film down or just stand there with the Talmud film. But that's when it was something different. It was something exciting. In a scary way, but it was exciting. So that's already passed. And now, you know, Shemal's Makim, how you doing? Okay, Makim Kosi Hashem. So it became the regular thing. And just like added on Nebuchadnezzar and it's fallen into that terrible... into that terrible neglect that the rest of our davening has fallen into. But if a person stops and thinks, what is he saying when he says the words Ahavas Olam Ahavtonu Hashem Elokein, it's the most beautiful brach in the world. Because when a person feels that he's loved, when a person knows that he's loved, and Hashem says, I love you in an infinite way, then he could do anything. And the person's capable of everything. What do we say there at the beginning? We say, well, not right at the beginning, we say, Bavur Avoseinu, for the sake of our ancestors, of the Avos, Shabbat Chubacha, who trusted in you, but Tlamt in Chukei Chaim, and you taught them the laws of life, Lasas Ritzoncha B'Lev Hasholem, to do your will with a complete and full heart. We mention Bavur Avoseinu in that bracha, as we prepare for Shema, we mention the Avos, because we're trying to awaken within ourselves the koyach that we receive from the others. The entire life of the life of our of the others, their lives were lives of one thing, Hashem Echad. So in order for us to come to Hashem Echad, in order for us to be able to say sincerely that Hashem, you're the one that counts. You're the one that counts. In order for us to be able to say that it's really you. Or like we say, the entire month of Elul. And we have to think about the words. Achashal timeis Hashem. The whole Elul. It's not just Elul. It comes out to be actually 52 days, right? From Rosh Chodesh Elul till Shmini Atzeres, we say the capital of Lodavar Hashem Ayu V'Yishi. And in that capital we say, Achashal timeis Hashem. There's one thing I ask of you, Hashem. There's one thing. That I should constantly live in your house, dwell, meaning to be in your presence, to be close to you. How could we say such a thing? Is that the Acha Shalt? You have to think during davening. That also became part of the Seder, right? Acha Shalt is only one thing I ask. One thing, in other words, what does it mean, Acha Shalt? What about the children? What about Parnassa? What about health? What about our parents? What about the matzav? What about there are a million things we're asking for. So what does David HaMelech mean when he says, Acha Sha'alti? I'll talk maybe a little bit about Shabbos, I think, maybe to prepare for the Yom Neran. But the Acha Sha'alti is meant, really, really, this is the, why do I want to have children? Why do I want to raise children? Acha Sha'alti. Why do I need a panasa? Acha Sha'alti. Oysa Avakesh. A person has to ask himself, and this is the way that we prepare for Rosh Hashanah. The way to prepare for Rosh Hashanah is we ask ourselves, what's my Acha Sha'alti? In life, if there's one thing that's most important to me than anything in life, what is it? And if the answer is, then my children are part of that same bakash, and my parnas is also part of that. And everything that I do is part of that acha sha'alti. So before Shema, in order for us to be able to sincerely say Hashem Echad, which is acha sha'alti, that's all that there is, that's all that's important, so we try to awaken the koyach of the Ovis that we have. And the Ovis taught us this, to do Hashem's will with an entire heart. But that's what counts. And during this tefillah, this beautiful bracha before Shema, we beg Hashem, Abba, Abba, Tata, came to chaneinu uslamdeinu. Our others were such amazing people. They served you with a complete heart. Please teach us. Kein techanenu slamdenu. Telame gamo yisanu. Teach us how to do this. Teach us how to know how to serve you with a whole heart. That this should be our priority in life. This should be the most important thing to us in life. I mean, Rabbi Nachum Bresel, the school, once said, I remember the exact lashon, the exact lashon was Rabbi Nachman said that until Mashiach comes, until, you know, he had amazing vision. He said, until Mashiach comes, people are not really asking what they're not really talking about what they want to talk about. He says, for instance, when somebody meets somebody in the street, they say, how are you doing? Or we would say in Hebrew, man nishma, or whatever it is in Yiddish, or whatever language you speak. But yes, man nishma. He said, so Rabbi Nachman said, and they start to talk about Narishkeit. He said, that's not really the question. The real question, he said, imagine if you would stop someone in the street, you'd see a friend, and you'd say, I want to ask you, what's your tachlis for being in this world? So Ibn Ahmed said, you know how you wouldn't have one friend left in the world? They'd all run away from you. If you would meet somebody, you'd say, why do you exist? Why do I exist? You want to, what's your tachlis? Did you live according to your tachlis? Did you live according to were you living up to the reasons you were created? So Ibn Ahmed said, Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't have a friend in the world. And Ibn Ahmed says that God knows that's all I want to ask everybody I meet, but I'm afraid that I won't have anybody left in my life. Ibn Ahmed said about himself such a thing. Because you know, if you'd ask somebody, they're running away. Because he says, when Mashiach comes, that's all people are going to talk about. That's all we're going to talk about. We're not going to say, man, the Shema. Hey, what about those Yankees? Aren't they something? We're not going to do it. We're not going to say, it's not going to be. It's going to be all Hashem Echad. It's going to be Tachlis. Without all the Levushim and silliness and embarrassment and all the Narishkeit and the hiding, the constant hiding. That even between people that love each other, and the husband and wife. So to say things that are real and to be able to talk emes. He said, really, till Mashiach comes, nobody's saying the truth. No one says really the truth. No one's asking the real questions. Think about the questions that are asked of our children in school. Think about the questions that our teachers asked us in school. Were they the real questions? They're good questions, like, did you do your homework, stuff like that. Those are good, those are chashuva questions, and we have to learn. But the real, real question, no one talks about the real thing. No one really asks the question that needs to be the question that needs to be asked. And until Mashiach comes, Ibn Nachum says there's a blockage like that, and people are running away. And if there is somebody that asks the question, then people run away. That person won't be hired by any school to be a teacher. They're not going to hire such a person. Did they ask the real questions? Oh, forget it. The ones that ask the real questions, they speak Lashon Hara about. Not, they don't hire them. They speak Lashon Hara about. The Kan Evshel Heshtapich Ulischanin Velishpech is Kolin Hashem Shalom. He says over here in this part of the Berachas Kriya Shema, you could pour your entire heart out and you could beg Hashem, pour out your entire neshama in kol haritzonis v'atshukas amitis shelo. You could be honest. You could speak honestly. Because Hashem will never ever run away from any of us, and you could speak honestly to Him. If He's zoekes umischanenis, and the neshama is screaming out, Abba, Father. How long am I going to be buried and immersed, and how long am I going to drown in all these silly external ritzainus desires and narishkeit? Abba, 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 kein dechanenu slamdenu. Teach me to be a person that serves you, the lev of shalom. Teach me, kein dechanenu slamdenu. Help, save us. Yached levavenu. Everybody remembers the famous thing that Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, all of you heard this, I'm sure, every one of you, Rabbanim, your rabbis, your teachers have taught you this, that how is it that Yaakov Avinu was able to take the stone off the well, right? So there's a midah that Yaakov Avinu had. Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Zechatzadik, the Kavos Avroch, explained that there's a midah that Yaakov Avinu had that's called Yichud HaLev. Yichud HaLev means that he was able to focus all of his ritzainus into that one thing, which is taking the stone off the well. Which of course means much more than just opening up a well. It means whatever the wellspring, it means the wellspring of who we are. It means the Be'er. Be'er is the letters B'yodcha Afki Ruchi is Be'er. And the opening up of the well. Yaakovin was able to lift off the stone where all the shepherds couldn't take off the stone. What does that mean? It means Yaakovin was working out. Yaakov Avinu was a bodybuilder, chas v'sholom. What does it mean? Yached levavenu means you and I are so dispersed because we want a million things. And because we want a million things, we hardly get anything. But the meaning of v'yached levavenu is help me want one thing. help all my ritzinus be focused. Yaakov was able to lift it up. Now he's able to lift it up. But Rashi means Chazal say, Mamar's like a person would pull a cork off a bottle. It was like nothing. Because there was a midah of Yichud Halev. When I'm reading now this biography just came out about Rav Pam Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Boy, what a musa just to, you know. First of all, even if you just look at his face, it was like, it was Yartzeit who was in on this. You look at his Yartzeit's coming up now. You look at his face, his Azam Musa, such as a tyrant, Zisa, precious Jew that he was. But when he spoke, and I was able to speak to him a few times, and everything that he said and how he said it, there was Yichud Halev. There was a Yichud Halev. Marifos gives upset because I start reading the back of the book, you know, right away. So I ran ahead to like the last chapter. So I couldn't wait. So I was reading there, and there's this child. Actually, I know the father very well. There's a child that a special child that Rav Pam took you know that the child was brought to him on a number of occasions, and Rav Pam took a liking to him, and Rav Pam spoke to him. And when you speak to a tzaddik, you feel that the tzaddik has only one thing in the world at that moment, and it's you. And it could be for 30 seconds. You could be by a teacher who speaks to you for 5 years, and you feel like he's talking to everybody else. And when you're with a tzaddik, for 30 seconds, when we used to line up, you know, in the old days to go to try to get the piece of lekach from Lubavitcher Rebbe, you know how the chassidim would push, you couldn't even say your name, they'd start throwing you out. But you had to stand your ground. But when he would look at you and he would say a sentence to you, it was like your whole life was rolled into that one sentence, because you felt that the tzaddik, even though there are 10,000 people waiting to see him for a second, but when he looked at you and he said those words to you, it was a v'yached levavein, it was with a yichud halev. Our ritzoinus are so dispersed when amafuzu or mafayrad, divided and dispersed within ourselves. We're so capable of love, but our love is divided between so many things. We love so many things. That's why the famous mice, which I'm not going to tell over the whole story, but everybody knows that when the Rebbe Zushi was someplace and they were serving him food, and the Rebbe Zushi was there, he was together with the Rebbe Baruch Meshbitzer, and the Balabas made the mistake. He offered the Rebbe Zushi a pepper. And Rebbe Zushi said, no, thank you. And the Balabas said, Rebbe, you don't care for pepper? And the Rebbe Zushi said, no, thank you. So the Balabas made a terrible mistake. He said, really? I love pepper. And then the Rebbe Zushi sat back, and his eyes went into his head, and it was just white. And he started pounding the table. He loves pepper. He loves pepper. And then Rebbe Zushi started jumping on the table and pounding, and everything fell off. And the Rebbe Zushi started to say, he loves pepper. I love Hashem's Baruch. He loves pepper. I love Hashem. And the Rebbe Baruch Meshbitzer, who was, as you know, very, I don't want to say the word strict. He was Rebbe Baruch Meshbitzer. So everything on the table got all over Rebbe Baruch Meshbitzer's coat. And that coat he would only wear afterwards on Yom Kippur, and he asked to be buried in that coat. He said, because this is a coat, this is the coat of a Jew who loves Hashem. From the Rebbe Zushi saying, you love pepper, I love Hashem. So, even the Lashonis, when I was growing up in the house, my father didn't let my sister and I say things like, I love this show, or I love this food. My father said the word love should be reserved for family members and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't use the word love for pickles and cake. It's a very strong love, a very strong word to use. And you see in America, bechlal means, but the word love has been, how it's been watered down. This man gonish already. Love doesn't even mean like. Doesn't even mean like. Like used to have more meaning. When we were children, the word like was a chosh of a word. Love, yes, love. People say, they hang up the word, I love you, love you. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. Yichud halev. Shekol halev shli yishaku umole ach verak mehavis Hashem. That's what it means. My whole heart should be filled just with love of Hashem. It's tzaddikim mifligu begadol hadvar matzum she'ef shaliskas lufal b'shal sha'imim ahava rabba. That bracha of ahavas oilam ahava rabba, especially since the women, you don't have to be in shul on a weekday morning, even a Shabbos morning. You don't have to be in shul, so you have the luxury to divide davening up any way you like. Isn't that wonderful? I'm always jealous, because when you're in shul, when you're in shul, you have to try to keep up because you want to daven shul nesrei with the tzibur, and you want to say nahava soilam, nahava rabba, and you know the balfil is already saying shema, and then you get for lunch, what am I going to do, and you have to catch up. You don't have to worry about that. You could sit and say ahava soilam tomorrow morning for a half hour, and there's no chazans are going to be racing ahead of you. There might be people pulling at your skirts and your robes, but if you have a little bit of time, you could say nahava soilam mamish to bring Mashiach. How many things could be accomplished with the Baal Shem HaKadosh? All the tzaddikim said during that bracha, everything's in that bracha. Because this is the way we prepare to take off. You remember what we spoke about a few weeks ago, to be in an airplane to see things in a bigger way? That's Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKadosh Hashem Echad. That's how Jews died, Al Kiddush Hashem, with the words Hashem Echad, even Jews that weren't religious their whole lives. They died with the words Hashem Echad. That's being in a plane. That's being in a rocket. So the way we prepare is by a Havas Olam. Now think, the whole Shema is about this. Hashem says to us, Hishomu lechem, be careful, penyifta levavchem, that your heart shouldn't be led astray. You shouldn't divide your heart. That you might be misled and you might worship other gods. So whenever we come to that pasuk in Shema, we think, ah, Baruch Hashem, that's not something I have to worry about. I don't worry about worshiping other gods. So you figure there's one thing, Baruch Hashem, I'm not over, right? It's so good to know. There's one aveira I haven't done. Is avaidus Elohim Achaim. So that's not what it means for people like us. Maybe it once did. Certainly there was Pashat Avadazar. We're not interested in idol worship nowadays. So Vesatim Avadam doesn't mean that Hashem helped me that my heart shouldn't be led astray and I shouldn't worship other gods. Other gods means I love pepper, I love pickles, I love the show, I love the paper, I love this, I love that, I love my free time, I love my rest, I love my this, I love my that. All those loves. All those ritzainis, kol ha'inyonim shel kitnis, all the inyonim of kitnis, of smallness. Obviously not talking about important things, but kitnis. B'chol ha'shtuyis v'ha'havolim, all the shtusim, narishkeiten. That's what means Elohim Achayim. I might be led astray to what? That my heart should be drawn towards these other things. Again, the point here is not that you shouldn't, that a person shouldn't be, pay attention to the little details of life, but not your heart, not the heart. That's what Rabbi Rebbe was saying. He loves pepper, and I love Hashem. You don't love pepper. You enjoy pepper. You can, you eat pepper. You enjoy it, but you know. But love, ahava. As I lifneze, anachnu mischanu mevakshem abba, avinu aver achman. How beautiful the words are. Avinu, our father, aver achman, compassionate father, hamerachem. You don't have any other sentence with as many times that word. Hamerachim, who's compassionate. Rachim no alein. Abba Rachman. Sharachman shalcha hi atzuma ad leva shamayim. Hashem's compassion, his love is so great to the heart of heaven. Rak ata abba yedei ad heichan ayetzahar v'chei loisav matridim liyasamayim. Abba, only you know how the Yetzahar and all of his little helpers are causing my mind to be, are causing me to think of other things of being important, to have different priorities in life. Mababalun is harai, Shmam is confusing me. Rak ata abi yadeya makis kol amidah shali. Hashem, you know my midas. You know who I am. It's called taivis shali. You know my taivis. It's called achulsh shali. Everybody in the world might think I'm the greatest person, the nicest person. Baruch Hashem, you know my weakness is rak ata, azayin mischan lefenach, I beg you, aha, hatzileini, save me, v'yached levavenu li'ahav v'li'ir eshamecha, to unify my heart should be focused to love you and to fear you, l'man lo nevei sheleni kolim v'leni koshel lo'ilavet, so we should never be embarrassed and humiliated, we should never fail. Shrei oilai sabusha, is there any greater embarrassment? Oilai is a chlima or humiliation. Is there any greater embarrassment than humiliation? When it's seen in Shemayim, how I wander around this world, in a world that's so holy and that's so wondrous. Shav shaliskas boy, a world in which I could acquire, and rak by, and only in this world can I acquire. But yomim v'naharis nefloim shel Torah HaKadosh, rivers and oceans of what? Oceans and rivers, wondrous oceans and rivers of more Torah and more of you, Hashem, which I can acquire davka in this world, not in the next world. V'shal tefillah and davening, v'shal tahara and purifying myself, v'shal midas tovus and working on my midas. V'ani bizbazti es kol ha'etzva sa'elu, and I wasted all of this. V'yibarti ha'esam v'yadayim, and with my own hands I destroyed them. Abba, Father, ani meschan lefenach, I beg you, l'man lo'y nevesh lo'y nikola. I don't want to be embarrassed anymore. I don't want to be ashamed anymore. Ona, therefore, azorli, help me. Sheniske l'chayim she'en ben busha chlima. A life where there's no busha chlima. Busha chlima, what he's saying here, which we know from davening in many places, in the Shchaidish benching, and here, it doesn't just mean, of course it means we don't want to be embarrassed in front of other people also, and we ask Hashem to protect us from that as well. But really, on a deeper level, he's saying the busha chlima is not from other people. The busha chlima is from Hashem's Baruch and the Malachim, the higher world. He can by the Mazan from our grandparents and great grandparents and great grandparents in the higher world who are watching everything that we're doing. He can by the Mazan af echad leyadeya mashanasa b'sarichi. In this world, he says, in this world, nobody knows what's going on inside of me. And nobody knows the inyonim, that the silly small things that are keep me, that are occupying my mind and my thoughts. Aval sham over there in the higher world, they see, meaning what? The malachim, my ancestors, all the tzaddikim in olam haba and Gan Eden see. Actual akachtis and neshama kedusha shali, how I took my holy neshama. And my great and wondrous kaychas that Hashem gave me. And I used my neshama, my capacity to love, my capacity to feel, to think. I used it for what? Dvarm shel mabakach, for pepper. And I filled my head with my own hands. I filled my head with what? Havolim. I filled my heart with dvarim shel kitness, small things. Abba, ani meschan lefanecha. This is the kavanah of that bracha of ahavas olam, of ahava rabba. I beg you, tatzel is, he save me. Teishio is, he laman loy nevo is, loni kolav, loni kosh, loy lom ved. V'kashem meschanem avakshem kach, lefnei kriya shema. And when we daven this way before shema, as I say, hachonim nefo l'kriya shema, this is the most wonderful preparation for shema. V'azoychem l'shmoye v'liklait, that I'm able to absorb, to hear, to receive. Shema Yisrael, I'm saying to myself. I'm saying to my own neshama, which the Baal Tanya writes about in many places. I'm talking to the Yisrael inside of myself. Shema Yisrael, listen, Yisrael. To the Yisrael, that part of me that's called Yisrael. Yaakov is the part of me that is not as great as the part that's called Yisrael. Listen to the part of me that's called Yisrael. Listen, Yisrael. Hashem, I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to the godliness within me. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's a new shefa of that awareness. Each and every time I say Shema, a new shefa that Hashem allows into our lives, if we want it, of Hashem Echad, of Hashem's oneness. Meaning of that being the one thing in our lives that's important. Every little drop of energy the person pours into this bracha of Ahav Rabba. Kol machshava, kol rasan, every thought, every desire, every will. Kol, next page, Kuflan Beis. Kol tshuka, every tshuka, every longing that he pours into this bracha. Mashpia ba'ifin otzum al kol aysa yayin. It has a tremendous hashpa on the entire day. It's an initial atomic, and it's going to last you throughout the day. Skip the Kufnun Beis. Just right down there in the footnote. Not the page, just the footnote, Kufnun Beis. Ulamash. And this goes further. The whole Shemin Esrei. So he's just showing us how we need to daven for this, and how we can think about this during our davening. So in Kufnun Beis. Ulamash. B'shosh anachnum b'vakshim b'kol yom. Re'eina ba'anyenu. Good. So every Shemin Esrei we say, Re'eina ba'anyenu. Hashem, look how oppressed we are. Look how impoverished. Look at our suffering. Nichol b'zeh. What's included, what this means also, besides, of course, the simple things that are not good in life. But what's included in this on a deeper level is Abba. Tiresi nuyim shalanu. Look at what is it in my life that torments me, that tortures me. Tiresa aini shalanu. And look at my poverty. Rak ati yedeo makiris ani yishali. Hashem, only you know how poor I am. Everybody else thinks I'm so rich. Rak ati yedeo ad heichan hayet zahar ma'ano isi. Hashem, only you know how, no, really, how much the Yetzirah is manos, he is oppressing me. And the nice thing, Menucha doesn't give me Menucha. Kamesha Kosov, Meher Yikadmuni Rachamacha Kida Loin Ma'aid. That's what we say, that Hashem, you should quickly have compassion, have Rachmanis, because we're so poor. And that's how we begin Slichas. Slichas is in a few weeks. That's how we begin Slichas. Kirashim Kedal and the fact that Lasecha was so poor. We're knocking at your door, Hashem. We're totally impoverished. Ani ma'ay dal. What does it mean we're poor? Ma'ay toshush weak. Lefanacha niglu kol taluma slave, like we say, by vidui and Yom Kippur. All the secrets of my heart are known only to you. Rak avi hayaka yodea. Only my precious father knows that heichen hayetzahar machnesli b'toich harayi shali b'sech halev shali kol minei b'tzainis namuchim. Only you know how the yetzahar brings into my heart, stoops into my heart and into my mind all kinds of desires for stupid things. B'chol minei tshukas, akitnes, and shiflus, minim, minim, shonim, kol minei terumas ketan, and how many complaints I have. My yetzahar, only my, everybody else thinks that I'm so put together. Everybody thinks that I'm so on top of things. Everybody thinks that I'm so kind and forgiving and so generous and good-natured. But you know, kol minei kpedis ketanis, how many kpedis I have. That anybody that looked at me the wrong way for the last 40 years, I remember. And how I look at people in such a negative way. I might not say that because I want to be liked, I want to have friends, I want to be popular, but how I look at people in such a negative way. And how many times I feel and I look upon precious Jews in a way of bittul, in other words, like they're worthless, they're not anything. Shalastaklus milamala lamata, and I look at them in a condescending way, from above to below. B'chayse hashivas. Think about how hard it is for us. Every time a mashulah comes to the door, every time somebody needs something, how it's so hard to hold cup. We don't know whether that person is infinitely more precious in Hashem's eyes than us, because that person's coming with all kinds of inyanim we don't know, and it's so hard to hold cup like this. And Hashem, only you know how much agnes nefesh I have from what? From dvarm shel mabakach. Dvarm shel mabakach. From things that are not important. Abba, hay nesatali kazuna shoma gevoyde v'yikara kadoisha. Father, you gave me such a special, precious, exalted neshama. Tazali she yetzahara lo yuchal ischef. Help me that the yetzahara should not be able to drag me. V'lim shechesi lahamichesi. Lashkia yisi besach ke'elu dvarm k'tan. That the yetzahara shouldn't drag me into these small things. Abba, Father. Hu aisa yisi kol kach katan. The yetzahara makes me so small. It diminishes me so much. Kol kach nomuch, so little. Hu mayich yisi, it crushes me. Who derech lai, it tramples upon me. Look at Kuf Nun Ches. Next page. Page Kuf Lamed, Kuf Lamed Gimel, footnote Kuf Nun Ches. He says, look, Goy, he says, a Goy is munach, he says, a Goy is munach shakur b'shtuyas b'arziyas b'kitnes. He says, we understand, someone that didn't receive the Torah, a guy, he could be completely immersed in all kinds of shtuyas and physical things and kidneys and smallness, and he thinks it's a mashu. Like, you know, he's a celebrity, he's an all-star. He's a mashu. You know, how's a person in the non-Jewish world, how do we view somebody as being great, as being small? So this person thinks he's a mashu. All these nobodies that are on the front page of every magazine and newspaper, these are the biggest nobodies in the world. These are the nobodies, shebe nobodies, the lowest of the low. And they think that there's something. This person knows how to throw a ball into a hoop, so he becomes a mashu. This person knows how to stand in front of a camera and to make believe and to act, but doesn't know how to talk to a father, to a mother, to a child, doesn't know how to talk to a husband or wife, doesn't know how to talk to a friend, but knows how to talk to a camera, and then they go and take pictures and look at the gaiva, look at the mashu, ech, ani mashu, I'm something. Look at these politicians with their stupid smirks and smiles, how they look at the world, and they think that the hamoin am, the simple, hardworking people, the people that are driving the trucks, the people that are fixing the lights, that these Hamoin Am, that they're these stupid little nobodies, these little subjects of mine. And some guy, because he has a rich father who got him into Harvard or Yale, so he's a mashu. Think of the senators of our state. Gornish mit Gornish, Bizyonis, Bush of a Cherpa, that 20, 30, 40 years ago would have been a busha, that a state that's filled with so many important and wonderful people, such as New York State, is represented by people who are such nobodies, garnished. That people are nobodies. Somebody, a woman who is a celebrity, a woman from People magazine, a garnish who never said a good thing, who never did a good thing in her life, a garnish. And this has nothing to do with whether I'm a Democrat or Republican. If she wouldn't have been married to that Manuvel, she wouldn't be married to that Manuvel. Of course, now all they want in her party is that she should be president. 68% of the Democrats want her to run for president. What did she ever do? It was a garnish. And to make the governor of California, what? Someone that's a bodybuilder. It's the whole thing. It's a bizarre. And you know what? He might be a very nice guy. It happens that Ronald Reagan was probably one of the best presidents in American history because he was a push at the mensch and he cared about what's right and what's wrong. And our president right now is a push at the mensch, or is a good mensch. But think of the, and he therefore has a hergish of what's right and what's wrong. But our state, no, but there's so many good people. Everyone here everyone here qualifies infinitely more. And it's the craziest thing, a hergish of what's right and what's wrong. But every one of these people, they think, Ech, I'm a mashu. Kesef, a kavod, a chadayim, a person has money, he's something, he has money, he's something, he's a mashu. You see, sometimes you go into a shul, or you go into an organization, there's a gvir, there's somebody, there's a knacker. Who are you? A garnish, mitgarnish. You know, nobody. Like my father used to always tell me that, but he says it was such a geschmack about this yid, you know, about some yid that he became a big gvir, and everybody goes to ask him ages, oh, Rabban Shul this, and Rabban Shul that, and should we do this, Rabban Shul, what should I buy, Rabban Shul, how should I invest, who should be the Rav, Rabban Shul, everything's Rabban Shul, right? And then he loses all of the money, and he says to his friend, Meila, I understand why nobody comes to borrow money from me, that the Mishlochim don't come, but Baruch Hashem, my seichel I still have, how come nobody comes to me anymore for ages? This I don't understand. They're not coming to me for ages anymore. Who are you? Garnish with garnish. A mashahu. He says, and look how this is infiltrated into our lives. That really in the Goyish Shevelt we understand that someone has money, he's a mashu. Somebody knows how to throw a bull into a hole, he's a mashu. Somebody knows how to flex his muscles in front of a camera, he's a mashu. This is not by us a mashu. This is a mashu by us. So, but this has crept into our lives. This has crept into our world. It's no longer creeping, it's infiltrating and mass into our world. Besar kol neshamim Yisrael. That what? That somebody has more money? Therefore what? And someone has, and covet and all these things. So we think they were just saying, save me from Arafat. Save me from that guy down the block with the tattoo that's coming my way. Save me from that dangerous looking person. Hatzileinu min hagoyim. That's not the oimik of Hatzileinu min hagoyim. The oimik of save us from the goyim is not what it means. What save us from the goyish way of prioritizing, the goyish way of seeing, of measuring what's real, what's important, what's right, what's wrong. Hatzileinu min hagoyim. Think of that in my life. What I'm doing. What are my priorities? Hatzileinu min hagoyim. What's important to me? Abba. I want you, only you should rule over my life. You hear? This is a way to daven. Only you should rule over me. Only you. Rak ata levat yeh melech shli. You're the only king over me. Kol amarech shli v'kol alev shli yeshaku munach rak lasis v'sanche l'kai chafati. That's it. There's nobody else that rules over me. I'm not worried what other people think about me. I don't care what other people think about me. If this is the right thing to do, I'm going to do it. I don't care what somebody thinks about me. There's no other melech over me, only you. And if it's right in your eyes, if what I'm doing is appealing to you, is maitzichein beinecha, I'm going to do it. I don't care if somebody doesn't think that this is the right thing to do. Isn't it crazy? If you think about it, we were talking earlier. It's such a sad thing. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us could be masking that from now on all of our simchas should just be with a piece of challah, a shtickle fish, a piece of fish, and a simple thing, and to take a plain room like this. This is already fancy, really. But to take something plain and to be able to be mesamecha chasan and kala. You know, we had such a beautiful Shavuot box. My sister married off. My niece was married this past week, Baruch Hashem. And we had such a beautiful Shavuot box that there was a blackout. And the first Baruch Hashem, the chasana wasn't... I know there were chasanas that night, Nabuch. That's a very, very big sign. It's very hard. But the Shavuot box was Thursday night. And we didn't know what to do. And Baruch Hashem, we had the most beautiful Shavuot brachas. What a beautiful Shavuot brachas in my sister's backyard. And Chavayim from the neighborhood walked over and put candles and these lanterns with fires. And my son took out his guitar. Oh, what a Shavuot brachas. It wasn't a bedevin. It's the Shavuot brachas that Hashem wanted us to have. But we don't have it unless all the lights go out. And it's like, you know, so we were supposed to go to a restaurant. We were supposed to go to a nice restaurant. And it was supposed to be like a whole fancy thing. Not fancy, you know, but it was supposed to be, you know, neckties. You know what I mean? You know, shiny shoes, the hat, you know, everything nice. And it turned out to be all fashvitzed mamish. And even I took off my jacket. I had a vest, but I took off my jacket. You know, then everybody was shocked. And it was mamish who was sitting there, but, you know, with good friends and family. And we sang a little bit. And we were able to get together a little bit, something to eat. It was a geschmack. So why can't we do that? Why can't we live that way? The Torah says because there are other kings that rule over us. It's not Hashem who rules over us. There are other things that rule over us. Why don't we have the strength to say, I don't care what the Olam thinks. I don't care. Because there's the kings that rule over us are so strong. And we're afraid of what the kings are going to say, what they're going to do, and so on. I'm not talking about something being not being bekavedik, don't get me wrong. But what it means nowadays, balabatish, bekavedik, balabatish, it's obscene. It's not balabatish. Balabatish in the old days meant that if your suit didn't have a stain on it, it was a balabatish astute. It didn't mean that it was like woven by your own personally, you know, hired worms or something. Silk, you know, it meant it didn't have a stain, it was balabatish, that was good. If it fit, it was more than balabatish. The Malchus HaRisha Meheris Aker. The Malchus HaRisha, what? The Malchus HaRisha, the evil kingdom. We say in Davin Yishmael, what does it mean, Malchus HaRisha? So, the Pashtus, it means Edom, it means Yishmael, 100%. That's the most basic kavana. Edom and Yishmael, the Malchus HaRisha, we understand what that means. And we think of the Palestinians, and we think of Amalek and Yishmael, 100%. Amalek's Arish Meisach is to shatter, to uproot, to shatter, to break. It's Chalim, it's Ashpilim, and to what? It's Achniim, and to humble, and to suppress. It's not just talking about. It's so easy to just think, oh God, I hope you kill Arafat and Abbas and all those guys. That's the easiest thing in the world to think. That's a kavana. That doesn't change your day. You know whose day that changes? Our brothers and sisters who are walking around with rifles in Eretz Yisrael. They're the ones that are... So you're a big knocker. You're sitting in New York, and you're saying, Malchus HaRisha, Meher HaSa'akir Shabbat. Go out, boys, in those tanks and take care of them, right? I'm going shopping right now, but I want all the boys in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, God bless them. Aren't they great? They should go out there and smash the enemy. That's the easiest thing to daven for. This is a lot harder, and this changes your day. That's also true, and Hashem should watch all of them. That's also true. But this is what Hashem shatter, break, suppress, crush all the other things that are ruling over my life. The Malchus HaRisha. All the Shibudim Zarm. All those Shibudim that are not real. The things that are holding me back from what's real. That's called Ashtuyas Vahavolim Sharetzim Yis Balabatam Alai. All the Narishkeit, the silly things that want to be Balabatam over my life. I should even give a second thought because this person said this about me. What difference does it make? And this person said that about me. Really? Because this person said something, it should bother me. It should hurt me. If it was something wrong that you did, That's okay, but if he didn't do anything wrong, and the person says this, I think that was the difference. And if somebody says something about me or says something to me that I don't like, I have to say my opinion. I have to tell them what I think. I have to get my mouth busy right away with this person. I have to even occupy my mind with this thing. I have to even think about it. To give this thought. So you're going to see, next week we're going to begin to talk about simcha. We could understand how much happier we would be to live like this. But a different way to live. Just because this person said something, and I happen to hear it, I have to roll this through my brain, I have to think about it. Has to stare my whole day. I have to fall asleep late. I remember I once said to myself years ago that there was something that somebody said. I mamish couldn't fall asleep the whole night, and it was such a stupid thing that was pegging my covered. It was just my covered. That's all it was the dumbest thing. It was just an enough covered, and I couldn't fall asleep the whole night. I'm thinking about this. I couldn't fall asleep. Not to get up on time. Or in any way what this person thinks or says prevents me from doing what I need to do. It stares me. Which I know, there are things that I know that Hashem wants me to think about. There are things that I know that Hashem wants me to be preoccupied with and to do and to care about. Well, I have to be meshabed myself to every stupid thing that somebody thinks or says about me. I have to meshabed myself. I have to that's what it means. Malchus Arisha. That's the kingdom. Those are the kings. Not Arafat. Not that Chirac. They're the kings. These are the kings, the Malchias that stare our day. Arafat doesn't stare my day. He stares to the point because we worry, we think about what's happening, but he doesn't stare my life from hour to hour, from minute to minute. The other Malchias are staring me. And that's what it means. Let's continue Kufnun Tes another few minutes. Abba, ta'aker, usushaber, uproot, smash, taharis, ruin, the tichfesh, crush, eskala kaychas, all of these things, all of these kaychas, eskala taivis, vaharitsinus, all these taivis, all of these taivis, and all these ritsinus. After this, he speaks about, of course, it's not nogea to women in terms of practically wearing tzitzis, but he goes into tzitzis, he goes into Chanukah also. There's an amazing talk here on Chanukah, which we're not going to go into, we don't have time to go into, but he speaks about tzitzis, that the word tzitzis, Rav Shach Falhurst and the other tzitzis can explain that the word tzitzis comes to the word lahatzitz. What does it mean? To gaze, right? To gaze, to look. So, everybody knows that ideally, when Mashiach will come, every man will be able to wear the proper tchelis, the blue tzitzis, right? The blue thread. Some people wear now, they have from their tzaddikim, from their rabbis, they have such a thing. But when Mashiach comes, all men will be able to wear such a tchelis. And every one of you knows that why is there tchelis in the tzitzis? So you remember, the Gemara says, because when you look at the tchelis, it's the color of the ocean, and when you look at the ocean, and you think of the sky, you look at the sky, then you think of the Kisak Kavit. And the word tzitzis, what does it mean? It means what we're talking about, being in the airplane, above this world. It means not being grounded, not being small. Therefore, the word tzitzis means to look. It means to look. And that's why tchelis, the blue, is from the word tachlis. It says in all this form. Tchelis is from the word tachlis. And the arba conscious, the four corners, of course, which the four corners of this world, which it says in Svarim that a Jew should think that Hashem mamish lifts him up al kanfei nesharim, on an eagle's wings, above this world, to a place of tchelis, to the blueness of the sky, of the ocean. You know, when a person is able to take a walk along the ocean, to sit by the ocean, isn't it amazing how many machshavis it's ma'ir? And that's one of the things I miss a lot from Far Rockaway, because we used to be able to, we used to actually see it almost from the second floor until they built some houses over there. But then we used to walk on Yontif, every Yontif we used to walk to Atlantic Beach, just to be able to walk there. The ocean, you walk along the ocean, it's gewaldig, you know, because it's the trailers and the kisak covered, and it takes you to a place outside of the smallness and the narishkeit and the little things, and that's what the inyan of tzitzis is. That's what the tzitzis is, to remember the tachlis, the trailers. It's like Hashem is stopping us and saying, "Do you remember what the tachlis is?" And that's the inyan that we spoke about with the mezuzah. But every single time you pass the mezuzah is saying to you, the mezuzah is calling out to you, "Remember your tachlis. Why were you here? Why were you put into this world?" That's every single time. That's the whole inyan of the mezuzah. And Mitzvah Hashem, next time we're going to finish. We're going to continue on page Kuf Mem Aleph next time, and we're going to finish. We're going to be talking about Simcha, about how we could use this way of looking at things and feeling to increase immeasurably our Simcha Sechaim.